Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
So we're going to go ahead and get started. As I get started this morning, I'm going to, let me just see here, get my phone turned right so I can read it. All right, cool. All right, there and there. Yeah, all right, cool. All right, so I need a kind of a child, kind of a small child volunteer to come up if they would. How many? We got a couple. Okay. Oh, and we got Ella too. Okay. You know, everybody who's got their hand up, come on up here. And just kind of stand right up front here. Just kind of stand up so everybody can see your beautiful faces. All right. Yay. We got Sophie here too. Look at these beautiful children. And you guys have a very important job. You need to kind of stand right up front here, right in the middle. And you need to turn, and you got to face everybody. Try to get a good view. Look into their faces, and let them look at your. All right. As you look at these guys, and look into their faces, you got to think about this passage of scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning, and it's from Matthew chapter 18. It said, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Then Jesus called little child, set them in the midst, and he said, 'I'm telling you, once and for all, unless you return to square one and start over like children, you're not even going to get a look at the kingdom, let alone get in. Whoever becomes simple and elemental again, as these little children, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" Praise God. So you see their beautiful little faces and their little hearts, and as they're looking at you, think about that. This is what Jesus said. This is what you're going to become like to enter the kingdom of heaven. This is what he really did. Praise God. Thank you, guys. You can go back to your seats. I want to just minister this morning along the lines of what I'm just calling a childlike faith. Childlike faith. It's such a profound thing. In fact, there was one time when Jesus, he looked up to heaven in the middle of his teaching. He just said, "Oh," and this is like just him talking to the Father directly. And he just goes, "Oh, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them unto babes." And right after he got done saying that, he said this, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." There is a certain simplicity. There's a certain childlike faith that just blessed the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I'm talking childlike faith, of course, I'm not talking about childish. You know, I'm not, you know, the Apostle Paul said, you know, as a child, I spoke as a child, thought as a child, reasoned as a child. I'm not talking about just silly child. He's saying, but when I became old, I put away childish ways. That's part of immaturity or silliness. But he is talking about a childlike faith in a simple trust in God, an uncomplicated simple trust in God. Jesus showcased a child and said, if you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have to first become as a child to enter in. Have you noticed that? A lot of times people who don't get you in believing in Jesus, their lives are too complicated for that. They don't get it. Too simple. A guy dying on the cross. Look around you. Look at the complexities of this world. But yet at some point in your heart, you believed the gospel. You believed that message, and in a simple childlike faith. You didn't have to reconcile all the world's problems. You weren't part of the wise and prudent. You decided to not be part of that and to humble yourself as a little child and say, I believe that. And you enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, unless you first be converted as a little child, you can't enter in. There's a conversion of humility that happens. There's a conversion of simplicity that happens in our hearts. There is something about a simple childlike faith that can just cut through everything. You know, Jesus loves childlike faith. Satan hates childlike faith. You know, we've talked a lot in recent weeks about demonic fluff and what all that means. The problem with childlike faith when it comes to Satan is demonic fluff doesn't work on them. They don't get it. And there's something about us when we become simple again, we don't get it in a good way. There's a childlike faith that just says, God with me, God for me, who can be against? I'm not trying to reconcile a bunch of stuff. It's just childlike faith in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit just says, amen to that on the inside. Simple childlike faith. Whoa, okay, that's his voice. That's his sound. I got my baseline again. But there's a simple childlike faith that starts this walk of faith with Jesus, and it's a simple walk of faith with Jesus, that childlike faith that causes us to walk through this world too. Now, as we're talking about childlike faith, I just want to talk about two little aspects quick. The awesome thing about a childlike faith is they just have a simplicity and an ability to hear. A childlike faith to hear. And when I think of this, I think of the story of little Samuel. Samuel was a young little man, and he was the sidekick to Eli, the great prophet of God back in that day. And so little Samuel would just do what Eli wanted him to do. He was kind of his little helper. And so he would just kind of, you know, help him out, do different things like that. But this little Samuel, you know, if you know the story, he was dedicated to the Lord, a very special child. And this child just had a heart for God. And one night when he was sleeping, little Samuel heard the voice of God. And God said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel thought, oh, that must be Eli calling for me. He must need some help. So he went over and to Eli, woke him up and said, Eli, what is it? What is it? What do you need? And Eli said, you know, go back to bed. I'm not calling you. I'm not saying anything. And so little Samuel went back to bed. He goes back to bed, drifts off to sleep, and all of a sudden hears his name again. Samuel, Samuel. He gets up again. He runs back and tries to, he goes to Eli. Says, what is it, Eli? I heard you say my name. And Eli says, that wasn't me. I didn't say a thing. You know, go back to bed. And so we're just going to kind of pick up the story here. And it says, now, and the Lord, so then Samuel goes back to sleep again. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose, went to Eli, and said, here I am, for you did call for me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went, lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And he goes on to prophesy to this 11-year-old boy the future of Israel and what he was going to do. And the amazing thing is about it is it starts this whole story by saying, now in this day, there was not much of the word of the Lord. There was not much revelation. People weren't hearing from God. It was a dark time spiritually. It wasn't dark because God didn't do that anymore or because God didn't move that. People just didn't have ears to hear what God was saying. And so this little boy, Samuel, Eli couldn't even hear it, but Samuel could hear it. He had a simplicity of a heart and a simplicity of faith that could hear, that wasn't distracted. You know, like we were saying before, demonic fluff doesn't work on childlike faith. Childlike faith is too focused. I mean, I've been on the merry-go-round of, when I'm saying demonic fluff, I'm just talking about, you know, bitter envy, self-seeking, you know, confusion, every evil work, that satanic wisdom that can get in your head and get you off. I have stepped off that merry-go-round with very simple childlike faith in the same way I've stepped into the kingdom of God. I had to humble myself as a child and then step out of some things. But that's the way childlike, and then when you do, it's like, it's amazing how much stuff you get from God that you couldn't get over here when you're heavied out, you know? But Samuel was not polluted with that spiritual climate of his day. There was just a purity of heart where he could just hear from God. When I was a little child once, I had kind of almost a little bit of a Samuel experience. I was about 8 years old, and I had this wart on my hand. And we tried everything to get this wart off, and months and months and months. And I just remember thinking to myself, you know, about, I wonder if God could heal that. Just a random thought to myself, or probably the Holy Spirit looking back in hindsight. But I remember waking up, and I'm about 8 years old. It's 2 a.m, and I'm up. And that just never happened to me as an 8-year-old boy. And I just remember being up, and I just remember getting out of my bed and walking down the hallway and into our living room at our home. And I just remember seeing that wart and having that thought and praying and saying, God, the one verse I remembered when I was 8 years old was John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And I just remember from my heart praying a simple little prayer saying, God, I believe you can heal this wart. I believe that. And I just prayed, Father, something to the effect of, I just ask you to heal this. You know, that's all I knew to do. I didn't really have any teaching at all. I mean, I was raised in a Lutheran home. It really wasn't the tradition in terms of divine healing or anything like that. It was just a spirit spark. And I remember getting up the next morning, and that wart that I've looked at for so many months was all of a sudden just like flat as a pancake. And I remember telling my mom, she's like, wow, that's really interesting, you know? And it was like the next day it was even flatter, you know, to where it was almost like a mark on my skin. And a few days after that, it was gone. You wouldn't even know it was there. But as a little child, I thought it was an experience in God. It's like sacred, you know, that I'd had that, you know? But, and I think of nowadays, just how many things fight me as I'm standing and healing and different things like that. But there's a childlike faith. Well, that's why I want you to look at those children and to look at them and say, Jesus wants us in our faith to get uncomplicated and have that childlike faith. We had to do that at some point when it came to believing on Jesus as our Savior. And there's different things in our life that we're going to come in our life that he just wants us to get that uncomplicated, that sweet sound of, okay, this is you, Lord. I'm going to walk in it. That's what your word, your voice. Let me say this too. And I'm bring it back to present now. There are times I've wanted to hear from God, like the way that story starts in the book of Samuel. It's really kind of interesting how it's worded. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. It said, it says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. That was the climate, the spiritual climate. I can testify personally in my life, there have been times and seasons in my life when the word of God was rare and there's not a lot of revelation going on. All right? We can all experience that. And this is just about our personal walk with the Lord. And I've been challenged sometimes, and the Spirit of God is saying to me, Ed, it's not that I'm not talking to you. I am. You gotta let my voice through. You gotta let my voice through. What does that mean? In other words, it just means listen. When you're over here in self-seeking, all you can hear is you. Your ears can't hear what the Lord is saying. And that's why when you step out and you go to this place of, okay, Lord, God with me, God for me, nothing can stand against. I'm standing off it, and I'm just listening, Lord. I know you love me theologically. Listen for him. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And the Spirit is still bearing witness with your spirit, letting that voice through. I've had some great breakthroughs when I've just allowed myself. Here, do this sometimes if you're kind of in that place. I mean, I've stepped out of many demonic funk by simply just opening my heart and saying, Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. I'm not problem solving. I'm listening. And you just begin to write down some little something. And you'll begin to like prime a well that'll spring up. But there is a simple childlike faith, a simple childlike listening and hearing that I just know the Lord just wants us to come back to and realize this whole thing started out with your childlike decision to believe that a man came to this earth 2,000 years ago and died on a cross for your sins. That same childlike faith is still with you. It is still what you're walking in, the Holy Spirit working with that. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Believe he's there now. Praise God as our faithful high priest. The other aspect I just want to touch on regarding regarding a childlike faith, and that is just the, let me just double check it in. Okay. Is the simple, well, we're just called the simple faith to give. You could say give, you could say forgive. A child has a giving heart. And this is taken from John chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, when Jesus looked out and saw a large crowd had arrived, he said to Philip, where can we buy bread to feed these people? He said this to stretch Philip's faith. He already knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 silver pieces wouldn't be enough to buy bread for each person and get a piece. One of the disciples, it was Andrew, brother to Simon, said, there's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but that's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this. Jesus said, make the people sit down. There was a nice carpet of green grass in this place. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the bread and, having given thanks, gave it to those who were seated. He did the same with the fish, and all ate as much as they wanted. Praise God. You know, again, just that little part. There's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now, it's important to note that the disciples did not rough up this little boy and get his lunch, right? They didn't steal his lunch and then Jesus multiply stolen food. No, that did not happen. There was obviously, it was his lunch. But that little boy gave away his lunch. He gave it to Jesus. And if you've watched this about children, not only is their listening uncomplicated, but their giving is so uncomplicated. I mean, sometimes as a parent, I'll tell on me, it can almost drive you crazy a little bit. You see your children, they want something. They're praying for it. They're believing for it. You hear about it and they finally get it. And they can turn around and give it to their friend 2 weeks later. And it's like, ah, are you sure? Are you sure you want to give that away? But there's just this kind of instinctive, almost desire to want to give. You know, I'm sure that little boy didn't have to, you know, say, let me quick rebalance my checkbook here and see if I can, okay, yeah, that'll work. He didn't. There's an almost a good impulsive when you know that's it, that's right, and it's not complicated. Just this giving heart, this giving spirit, that kindness, you know, that we get from a child. This is back, I think, this is late 80s, I think, mid 80s, I guess. And we were still, Julie and I were still dating at the time. I was driving and I was going along and I came back and I saw this guy on the side of the road and I could tell he was really, things were not going good. He had a flat tire and he was trying to change it and looked pretty frustrated. So I pulled over and I just asked to see if I could help him. And he said, yeah, just, I got a really bad spare tire. You put it on, but it's just, I could tell it's already losing air even as I put it on. I said, oh, that's too bad. And I was trying to figure out, you know, how I could help him. And I looked at the back of my car and I just happened to have a spare tire that just fit his car, you know? And you know, you know how it is as a Christian. You're listening on the inside. You're just kind of checking your heart as you kind of get in these situations. And as I was just kind of there and working with him, and I could just sense the Lord clearly say, he said, give him your tire. And as soon as I said that, I said, you know what? Let me check. You know, my tire fits your tire. I'd like to just give you this tire. He goes, oh, let me pay for you. Let me do something. I said, no, I just want to give it to you. Just want to give it to you. Because I knew that's what the Lord had said. Just give it. Just give the man your tire, you know? And I just remember thinking, oh, you know, the first natural thought is, no, I don't have a spare tire, you know? But I just remember doing that and saying, okay, it was like this quick deal. It was like not left hand, not knowing what the right hand is doing. There's just a good impulsive knowing witness. I got to do this. I got to bless this person. And I remember going back and thinking natural, you know, my head saying, now you don't have a spare, as I'm driving off. But my heart is going, yeah, that's good. Yes, that was good. There's something good about that. Remember, I drove home that night. I was relating the story to my dad. And my dad said, wow, well, you're just replaced all the tires on your mother's car. They're there in the shed. We had a farm and a shed. And he said, check them out. See how it goes. And it was four really better conditioned tires than my spare was even that fit on my car. Perfect. So I went from, you know, in the way Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves, he multiplied the spare tire for me. I had like four tires to choose from, you know, but it was one of those things where it was like this impulsive, this is it, this is right, there's a giving. God will be that way with giving. He'll be that way with forgiving. There's a goodness. There's a simplicity where you're just simple and quick to obey. And when you think of this, of course, we think of a child. We think of the innocence of a child, and part of us goes, yeah, they don't know any better. they're not jaded yet because life hasn't hurt them and tore them up yet. So they just don't know any better. They don't get it. But in one hand, you're right. You're right. They don't get it. And we're not supposed to get it either. We're to become like a child. It takes humility, doesn't it, to do that? To humble yourself in the face of life. And still function and operate with childlike faith. You never outgrow childlike faith. You never spiritually mature beyond childlike faith. Yeah, I remember back when I used to walk in childlike faith. Well, hopefully you're not remembering back. You need to live in that today. The greatest example of a child who walked in childlike faith was Jesus. Yeah. The Son of God was the perfect example of a child. He lived in a world. He saw everything. But he only said what he heard the Father say. He only did what he saw the Father do. I mean, when you think of Jesus was the creative agent for the whole world, everything was made by him, for him, through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. The Son of God is the ultimate creative genius that you could ever identify in terms of creativity and being able to do things. And, you know, and he humbled himself as a man and said what he heard and saw what he did. And before he left, he said that same Holy Spirit is going to come into you and he's going to show you things to come and he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. And you're going to operate very simply. This is something I get challenged with a lot. Ed, you never outgrow childlike faith. There's just inherent humility in it, obedience. There's a quick to hear, a quick to obey, a quick to do. It's so uncomplicated. It's so simple in a good way. It's simple. But, you know, Jesus said what he heard the Father say. He knew the Father said it, and he said it. He saw the Father showing him to do it, and he did it. I mean, I can tell you lots of times where I've heard things and held back. I saw things to do and reasoned my way out of it. And God is just bringing me back and saying, it's time to flow in just a simple childlike faith. Jesus puts that little child there. He says, here it is. Here's the picture. Here's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Why is Jesus ultimately the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, apart from obviously being God? But he became a man, and he walked with perfect childlike faith. And his name is above every name. He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And that's what he's calling us to do. So that's helped me when my ego has had a hard time with simplicity, when I'm in the funk of demonic wisdom and I'm playing hard to get out. Jesus did it this way. Jesus walked simply. God with us, God for us. Nothing can stand against. And one of the great ways to just reset that simple childlike faith is to just take some simple verses you know are true in your heart and declare them and to God. I mean, get in your secret place, but just between you and God, and say, God, I believe you. I trust you. You are my Father. I am your child. And I'm going to live with this childlike faith. I am yours. And there's just something about the simplicity of the Spirit and the Word. The thing that you realize again, it's all familiar. Oh yeah, I know this Spirit. Oh yeah, I've been here before. Praise God. And you never outgrow that place. That need for simple, childlike faith toward your God. Childlike to hear, childlike to give, whatever he shows you. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can just function and operate in a simple, childlike faith. Jesus, you modeled it perfectly. You came, the Son of God, the Son of Man, but yet you came as a sweet example of servanthood to say what you heard, to see what you do. I just pray, Father God, we can recalibrate all of our faiths to that simplicity again. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I belong to you. Thank you for loving me, for making me your very own child. Help me to be a good child with a simple faith. To follow your word, to follow your Spirit, to say what I hear, to do what I see. Help me to uncomplicate and look to you. I'm not the finisher of my faith. You're the finisher of my faith. I find myself when I lose myself. So I look to you, Jesus. Show me who I am. Reveal me by your word, by your Spirit. I will obey you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I received that this morning. Just a little recalibration message, recalibration of the heart. Something I got to come back to a lot and just remind myself, because I can get, even spiritually, you can get, when things start to get really complicated, that should be a little bell, a little red flag, a little something saying, you know what? He's not, you know, raising me up to be some spiritual doctorate genius. Not at all. He's just looking for somebody like that little child. I just could imagine Jesus teaching and putting that little child like we did this morning. It's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, because it's just so simple to hear, so simple to obey. The simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of our life in Jesus. Praise God.